Chapter 3 I found especially helpful. Put to death these things. Don't do them anymore and don't start doing them either. Be who you are, God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Put on, clothe yourself with this stuff and exercise these attributes towards each other. And I especially like that it encourages us to sing, because I do so like to. And also that all of our life, whatever we are saying or doing, can be done for Jesus. This was especially of great comfort and encouragement to me during my early years as a nurse. As I got to know God's word better through great teaching and being encouraged to read it more for myself, I started to note other great things about this letter. There are repeated presentations of the gospel everywhere. You can note these down for later if you like. Chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. We'll get to that next week, I think, in the prayer thing. Chapter 1, verse 21 to 22, which we'll do tonight. And 2, 13 to 15. And then weaved all the way through chapter 3. You can check it out later. This letter is saturated with the good news about Jesus. So it must be important somehow, you think. Looking at the way the letter is set out, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter, wants to make sure his readers know who they are before they get carried away with the how-to of who you are. And so, who are they? Well, verse 2 of chapter 1, God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. That is who they are. They are a group of young believers living in a society that doesn't get where they are coming from. And what does Paul think they need to know? Jesus. Jesus and the good news that is Jesus. Who he is, what he's done, and the real difference that makes to the how and what of their lives. So included in chapter 1 is this amazing hymn of praise and adoration of Jesus. And that's what we heard read for us. This incredible hymn declares the supreme greatness of Christ. Did you hear it? Did you notice it as you read along in your own Bibles? How many ways in which Jesus is first, central, and vital to our existence. So I'm going to focus primarily on the hymn section, verses 15 to 20, because knowing and being reminded of who Jesus is shapes the what and the why of everyday mission. We'll look at the significance of Jesus' reality for everyone and its impact particularly on the Apostle Paul, and then spend some time thinking through what it might mean for you and me here and now. So, verses 15 to 20. Jesus is it. He has pole position. He is the champion over all and for all. Have a look at our comprehensive picture of his allness. Verse 15, firstborn over all creation. Not just the rightful ruler over it all, but the one, in verse 16, in whom all things were created. So Paul doesn't want to rush past this. He's going to take it nice and slow. It's like when someone regales you of a story, of something they've enjoyed so much. They don't give you a dot point itinerary. They share the experience in word and possibly picture so that you can savour something of it. My brother and sister-in-law recently travelled through Italy. I asked my brother Matt, what was his favourite part of the holiday? Yes, this is a true photo that they took. And he warmed up to his topic. It had to be the Tuscan farmhouse, Ames. Gorgeous countryside, views from the kitchen window to die for, the best of food, hand-picked fresh from the organic garden. This most amazing host that would drop by at the end of a day and invite you, not in his Italian, we didn't understand it, down to enjoy a vino on the, you know, the al fresco setting. But the best of the best had to be the chef. Yes, we had a chef all to ourselves for one night. Someone who has been a part of the top echelon of hotel cooking in Europe, available to us, cooking us a meal. He set up the terrace area with our aperitifs so that we could enjoy it while sipping our vino from the local winery, while he was upstairs preparing our three-course meal with wines attached, having transformed our kitchen dining into a 5-star restaurant. It was amazing. Thanks, Matt. To be honest, he was reliving the sweetness of it while wanting me to know something of it too. So Paul does this for his readers, slows them down so they can savour their saviour. Who is Jesus? The rightful heir over all creation, the one through whom all things were created. What does all mean, Paul? Well, things in heaven and on earth, the realm above, the realm below. Things that are visible and the things invisible, including thrones, powers, rulers and authorities, whether they're in heaven or earth, whether visible or invisible, all things have been created through him and for him. Jesus is the reason we exist. Jesus is what creation is all about. Verse 17 declares, he is God. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. They are God traits. Before anything was, he is. In him all things hold together. Jesus is central. The all things pointed out in the verses above are dependent on him. This Jesus, and this ought to blow our minds more and more as we think on it, in verse 18 tells us, is the head of the body, the church. That's us. This Jesus who rules over all things has deigned to be the head of the body. He who brought us into existence as the church has not left us headless. He willingly and gladly attaches himself to us to steer and guide. How did he do this? Paul tells us in the second half of verse 18 through 19. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. He through whom all things were created entered that creation, became a created being, so that by dying he might begin a new creation. Now, doesn't that blow your mind a little bit? Jesus, known as Jesus of Nazareth, entered into human history to die in our place, deal with our rebellion, and rise to life again, the firstborn from among the dead, to bring into existence something new, a new people of God, the beginning of a new creation. Jesus is the one who has made it possible for us to enter into and become a part of his new creation. Only the Creator can do that. Without Jesus and what he has done, we'd be stuck in the old creation, frustrated in a sin-drenched world and separated from God forever. And that's really bad news. Verse 21 and 22 tell us a story. It even starts in typical story fashion, once. But this is a true story. It's very bad news followed by incredibly good news. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour. But now, and you always need to pay attention to the big buts of the Bible, but now he, that is God, has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. You see, even though all things belong to, are made by, and depend on Jesus, it doesn't mean we're willing to recognise it. The good of creation was ruined by humanity's rebellion. Created to live for God's glory and enjoy his goodness under and through his perfect reign and rule, we chose, we continue to choose, our own glory and our own rule. We, the created ones, break rank with the Creator. So it opened up a chasm that we cannot cross. So instead, God sent Jesus, God the Son, fully God, fully human, to reconcile us to himself. And don't miss the fact that despite us giving God the proverbial finger, he was pleased to do it. He is the one who made reconciliation between us possible. In Christ, we're made right with our Creator through his physical death on our behalf. And it's all God's doing. Christ Jesus, first in everything, is the first and only one who makes us new, who gives us a fresh start, gives us a new identity, and it's his own. In Christ we are holy, without blemish, and that's the blemish of sin, not our skin imperfections, and free from accusation. In Christ, we're a brand new creation, now freely able to live in right relationship with God as we were intended to live to please him, to know his love for us, and to look forward to the time when Jesus returns to put everything right. Now, if you've got good news, you want to share it. Technology, Facebook, etc., at its very best, facilitates this. I've got a new job, and I'm leaving you all. We're engaged. You want to tell the world. I did pass my exams. We've had a baby. So I have a question. Do you think it's good news? Do you know it's good news? Then everyday mission is for you. Paul knew it and it impacted him in every way. And that's what we see in verses 24 through 29. But before we go there, let's recap. In the first section, verses 15 to 20, Paul has raised our eyes to the greatness, the first place, the supremacy of Christ in all things, in every way. He is the one who is at the centre of it all. What has gone before and what is yet to come all hinges on Jesus, who he is, what he's accomplished, and what he will accomplish. Then Paul has specifically applied it to the reality of his readers, the brothers and sisters in Colossae, verses 21 to 23, pointing out what God has done for them in Christ, that this is good news, the gospel they heard proclaimed to them, spoken to them, shared with them, that they responded to. Now, we turn to verses 24 to 29 as Paul goes on to explain the way in which the good news of Jesus impacted and affected his everyday mission. It's his testimony, in a way, if you like. His whole life is shaped around declaring this good news, that Christ has come and all that that means. He's on about making sure everyone knows it. He considers suffering for the sake of bringing this good news to others something to rejoice in. There is no one else worth knowing compared to knowing and trusting Jesus with your life. And it's not just an initial declaration of Jesus. Paul is not approving the dump and run approach to sharing the gospel. In verse 28, it reads, "He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ." All these verbs are in the present tense, which means it happens in an ongoing way. We are proclaiming Christ continually through admonishing, that is to put right wrong thinking and to bring right order, and teaching everyone. And that's that full concept of sharing life, time spent together, bringing the reality of Jesus to bear on their lives, their behaviour, their decisions. That's all wisdom at work. Paul desires to see people reach maturity in Christ, and he is doing it alongside others, sharing the joy and the journey. So Paul gives us an example we can follow. Live in the reality of Jesus' greatness. Knowing and dwelling on the truth of who Jesus is will shape your motivations. It makes everyday mission a part of, well, every day, because Jesus is who he is every day. It means we view life through a Jesus lens. Now, you know how people in love are supposedly wearing rose-tinted glasses. They see everything through the lens of love. Well, loving and knowing Jesus means we look through crimson-coloured lenses. Maybe looking through those lenses could look a little bit like this. In a day, you walk around and into conversations and relationships with the active knowledge that Jesus is the only one who can span the chasm and make things right between us and God. He is our rightful ruler and our very existence depends on him. Without trusting in what God has sent him to do, we remain enemies of God, estranged from him. So you think, why is everyone walking around pretending this isn't the case? Perhaps they don't know. Perhaps no one has told them, sat with them, walked with them, shared life, shown them and talked with them about what it means to know the Saviour of the world. Maybe, you think, that could be me. What if I took the chance to share Jesus with them? How wonderful would it be for them to know the God who made them and loves them? Well, as Jordan pointed out, I work with AFES, the Australian Fellowship of Evangelical Students. That's why we shorten it. It's a mouthful. At Monash Clayton, AFES's vision statement is based on Colossians 1, verse 28. Proclaiming Jesus Christ at university to present everyone mature in him. In my role, I have the privilege of being engaged in everyday mission of Christian Union on campus, proclaiming Christ and doing so by teaching and admonishing with all wisdom, and that's the wisdom of looking to Jesus, not my own, and doing so alongside the student body. It is a joy to see and play my role in people growing to maturity. Maturity in Christ, watching them get excited to be a part of declaring Christ to a lost and hurting world. In fact, tomorrow I head away with students of Monash and Deakin to do just that for a week, some intense time in God's Word, being encouraged and equipped. Our everyday mission can look quite ordinary on campus. Weekly Bible studies, prayer meets, one-to-ones. We haven't yet seen whole faculties turn in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ, even though we've been more intentional and deliberate about being faculty-focused. But as my boss would say, Jesus is still on the throne. And then there are the other days where I want to write home and to all my supporters. Students and staff have been a part of four journeys that I know of across this last semester, where people have moved from that position of being estranged from God to knowing themselves reconciled with Christ, and we celebrate. God is at work. Everyday mission has taken another staff and student into regular catch-ups, sharing who Jesus is with several Muslim students, while engaged in talking about faith matters. It's grown so that it also includes several Jewish students. So there's the Christian, the Jew, and the Muslim all meeting together. And the student and staff have been able to correct some wrong thinking about who Jesus is in the process. That's great. God does some pretty amazing stuff when we walk out the door with everyday mission in mind. For another student, her years with CU have been about building up confidence in and learning more about Jesus through God's word. She's grown in her understanding and love for Jesus, and this has motivated her to want to share Jesus with others. So she has prayed and asked for boldness, and God has answered. She's had several opportunities across the semester to share who Jesus is with others, which have excited and encouraged her. It's a thrill to see that. Just yesterday was the launch day in Victoria for our national mission campaign called Uncover. There it is. You can see it probably better than in my hand. This is being rolled out across campuses throughout Australia for all the affiliated groups with us. It is an everyday mission. This is effectively Luke's gospel. So there's nothing too amazing about it, except it's been repackaged. It's in a funky format. There are QR codes that help take you to frequently asked questions to help students navigate as they meet with someone else. There is training on the ground. There's online assistance. We've gone all very high tech. Also that in the everyday mission mode, students on campus and staff can be inviting someone to come and meet Jesus in the pages of Scripture. This is everyday mission. Anyone here can ask anyone else if they'd like to read or learn about Jesus. Of course, everyday mission includes praying for God to do the work. Continuing to make friends by showing genuine interest and care in others because you really do want to be their friend. We have been praying for that across the last semester for this everyday mission opportunity. Everyday mission, of course, doesn't always result in success, or not the way we see it. We run a table where students in our campus in a popular thoroughfare stand up and seek to engage random students in conversation about who Jesus is. Why? Well, because Jesus matters and so many people don't know that. Thousands pass by, literally thousands. There's over 35,000 people that come onto campus at Clayton. It's staggering. So they pass by and it doesn't always feel good. But numbers have stopped for a chat. Sometimes with some students for up to a full 40 minutes, skipping classes to talk about Jesus. So to my knowledge, there haven't been any on-the-spot conversions, but they've had a meaningful conversation about Jesus, and we continue to rely on God for the results. Everyday mission can look like a mistake. I took the opportunity to speak to a young woman. She was crying on a bench at uni. She was lost, hurting, and far from her home country. I sought to show her compassion. I talked with her and tried to offer her some words of comfort. I asked if I could pray for her, and I did. She said yes, by the way. I gave her my number in case she wanted to talk. Well, I could count on one hand across the last 8 years the amount of times people have actually called me when I've given their number. So you can imagine how incredibly excited I was when she texted me and asked me to catch up. Now, I was incredibly excited, particularly because this young woman had a head covering and I had walked away wrestling with the perceived Muslim-Christian divide. How do I do this? But decided to trust Jesus with the chasm. She texted me. I asked people to pray. I prayed. And when we met up, it's fair to say I was a little eager. And then I overwhelmed her with how great Jesus is while trying to stay listening and learning. I gave her an Uncover book and said I'd happily read it with her and discuss anything she'd like to talk through anytime. So I felt incredibly crushed as I read the text telling me she is not interested in religion and can she please give back the book. But I'm not the point. My hits and misses are not the point. Jesus is. Sure, I can sharpen this blunt instrument. I can work out how to better read someone from a different background and avoid some terrible cultural clashes. But Jesus is in control, and he is still Lord of all, supreme over all, and he really is the only one who can fix our problem, and everybody needs to know that. That's our motivation for everyday mission. Everyday mission is the outcome of living with Jesus as your King and dwelling on and knowing how brilliant and game-changing that is. So what could it look like for you? Standing up on campus, at school, at work, in your community, being identified and known as a Christian, being a good classmate, a reliable colleague, seeking to honour Jesus with your words and actions, looking out for the person who needs a friend, seeking opportunities to encourage other Christians so that people in your everyday world might know Jesus. As I've looked around the St. Alf's community and reflected on this, here are some of the other ways I've noted people living with Jesus rightly at the centre. It's by no means a comprehensive list, but it might spur you to think on it too. Having Jesus at the centre makes people give up their holidays to work with everyone else's children or feed those workers who are doing it, so that more people can hear about Jesus because it matters that they do. It's people using their retirement, travelling overseas to help run a children's program so that both missionaries and their children in long-term service can be refreshed, encouraged and built up by fellow believers while on retreat. It's one woman asking another young woman whether she wants to catch up and read the Bible. It is the person seeking to be a good neighbour, a good friend, showing Christ's love and compassion, praying for and looking for openings to tell them the good news. Why it is knowing Jesus makes such a difference to who you are and what you do and what you don't do, all while sharing everyday life. All these people are steeped in prayer, dependent on God to do it, asking him to open their eyes to the opportunities around them and taking them. In fact, our everyday mission is supported by unseen prayer warriors, those who may be limited in their capacity to engage in other ways, but are fervent in their prayers, petitioning our great God to have mercy on our neighbourhood, our cities, country and world. Theirs is a vital work, for God listens to our prayers, and they'll see on the last day the impact of their everyday mission. I like Paul's method for everyday mission, and I think my Ridley College principal did too. He mentioned in one of our chapel services that he preaches the good news of Jesus to himself every morning before he gets out of bed. Before he goes anywhere, he reminds himself of who Jesus is, who he is, and how much he needs Jesus, and is thankful for all he has done. If you like, you need to know what you know before you go where you go. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you that in Christ we know reconciliation with you. We no longer stand the other side of the chasm. We know ourselves as a new creation, holy, without blemish, free of accusation. This is wonderfully good news. Father God, please continue to motivate us with this great good news to share with others by sharing our lives and sharing the truth of how much we're thankful to you, dependent on you, for each and every breath, for our joy and our life. Please, Lord, would you raise up many more who will go and continue to share your good news wherever they find themselves. Bless us in our everyday mission. Please use all our good gifts to build your kingdom to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.